Welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will.
Yes, you are, young William. This week, we're going to talk about the Orlando shows, the seminars, sportsmanship in general, Westminster judging panel, and more. All that and more, right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh,
oh, oh, oh. Well, good morning. Good morning, young William. How are you? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you're missing the best part of the show that we have to edit out before we start. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. And you're right. We do some amazing impersonations with storytelling that we just aren't allowed to put out there in the air.
Well, we could, but no one ever talked to us again.
Oh, exactly. But they're fun.
They are good. They're pretty good. Anyway, where have you been? You've been up to the expo, eh? The Pet Expo?
Yeah, we had the Aurora Dog Show this weekend. Aurora Kennel Club was held at the Convention Center in Toronto, and it's held in conjunction with the Pet Expo. So there was cats, snakes, all kinds of dogs.
Well, there's snakes there at every dog show.
Yeah. But the Grant Crossman, who runs the whole thing, his main thing is reptiles. He does that for reptile shows and whatnot. And so he and Dr. Mean started this dog show at the Pet Expo. So there was pictures of Dick everywhere, which is great. You know, it was great. And his daughter was there on the weekend, and she couldn't go to her ring without crying because there was a different picture of Dick at each ring. So it was nice. So Sandra, she was thrilled to be there and see the pictures of her dad. That's and so her pop, she called him Pops. And she gave me a picture of Dick giving a dog I was showing Best in Show and Best Puppy in Show. It was a French bulldog. He gave this bitch Best in Show. She was 7.5 months old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. How cool.
And what she went on to be a big winner. Like, he found her at 7 months old. So
what a great guy and a great dog, man.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. That guy does some big pet expos.
I mean, Grant. Yeah, he does. On a side note for our hockey note, because I used to do the commentary with Cindy Cherry, Don Cherry's daughter. Well, Grant brought me over a jersey signed by Don Cherry this weekend, so I'm have it hanging in the basement with the rest of my paraphernalia.
And he's even a fan of Miss P,
Don Cherry. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have to like him for hockey, but you got to like him for Beagles. Hey, the Devils are on a tear.
Oh,
huh?
My God. I know. And the Leafs play them tonight. You can kiss your winning streak goodbye. Because the mighty blue and white are coming to town. Play back that tape. What did I say? I told you.
Beautiful. Anyway, well, I'm getting now. How big was the show?
It was good size. It was for Canada. It was about 500. So
wow, that's a big show down here now.
Yeah, it was a good size. It was great, and they had a panel from all over the world. Louis Ribas Silva was there. Johan Becerra was there. Rafael Alcrudo was there. I don't want to miss anybody, but it was a nice panel to show to. I don't know if you've ever shown to Rafael. He is so much fun. When he judges, he's from Spain. He has so much fun when he's judging these dogs. You can just tell he loves dogs. He just loves dogs.
Yeah. Makes a difference, doesn't it?
It does. He gets so excited, too. He was taking the Irish Setters around, and he's like clapping. The Irish Setters are going around the ring because he wanted to see them go. He said, just let them go. It's not always pretty when you just let them go.
That's pretty cool. You know, in medicine, doctors that have a good bedside manner, even if they're not very good, they get sued far less for malpractice than those who are grumpy and mean. The grumpy and mean ones get sued all the time. And it reminds me of dog shows and people like judges. There's some very popular judges out there who may not be the top, top tier, but they have a great personality, and that goes a long way. People want to have a good time. And just like that doctor may not be the A-plus doctor, he's going to get you fixed. And some of these are just really good dog judges but their smile gets them even farther.
Exactly. You know? And it's a shame how some people react to their friendly. I don't know which judge it was this weekend, but there was a complaint put in about a certain judge helping an exhibitor too much. Yes. And it was obviously a new exhibitor. A new exhibitor, they didn't know what they were doing. They had the lead in the wrong hand. Like, so the judge talked them through it. Just so happened he liked that dog and ended up giving it the class. Well, the people just, there was, and to be honest with you, to be probably honest, half of them were positive about it, but the other half were negative about it. It went on Facebook, and it got so bad that the girl that posted it took it off because... some of the comments,
What the heck? You know, yeah. We talked about sportsmanship last week, but I was thinking about it. It kind of reflects the disrespect in our society in general, doesn't it?
Oh, there's no question.
We go around politicians themselves calling each other foul names all the time.
Yep.
Never mind the people. And everybody just is fair game, it seems, especially in the world of social media.
Oh, behind that keyboard, let me tell you. I remember as a kid going in the ring, and I think it was J.D. Jones doing the... Well, he talked me through it. You know, like I was a kid, and he said, oh, do this. And there's no question he talked me through it. He was just being friendly, and, sure. And I'm not... You can't remember if I ended up winning, but... but, yeah, no one complained. No one complained about him, you know.
Right. And, you know, and I guess there's a point where you can be... if you're... overly friendly, they don't take you seriously.
Right.
So you got to be somewhere in the middle, it seems. I don't know.
But wasn't Don Jones great? I remember showing to him one time, he gave the dog I was showing the group, and he gave my friend second. And he said, congratulations. And he turned to the second place and he said, I sense hostility. And my buddy said, no, not hostility, just frustration, sir. Today I am the judge, so I am correct.
He was great. And we moved to Georgia for a short period of time on a job thing years ago. He was the first one to call up and say, welcome to the neighborhood, come on over for dinner. And just a total gentleman, cool guy, and fun to talk to about different dogs. And his life was fascinating too. You know, he had this really cool place, and he would show you his house, which was beautiful. And down the hill was the house where he grew up.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. I think it was a hog farm at one point in time. And years ago. Yeah, fascinating cat. But we got a lot of good ones in this sport. Well, you just got to find them, and you can't put up with the whiners. Speaking of a Facebook post on the same tilt, there was a lovely message by a junior who was invited to, who won the qualifiers to get to the World Show in Brazil. And that's a big deal. This is a big country. I mean, you're one selected to go to Brazil to represent the United States. That's the World Show every year. You know, no matter where it is, each country, it's a wonderful thing. I remember at Crufts, those kids would sit in the lobby of the hotel, speaking 20 different languages, getting along, hanging out all night, every night, learning from each other, teaching about culture and dogs and sharing their love and passion for dogs. This is a big deal for kids to get together and do this. They'll make international lifetime friends.
Oh, yeah. And memories they'll never forget. It's good.
Of course. And the knowledge. And the people they can call later on as they grow up through the sport. You know, there's so many people I grew up with in juniors that I still talk to. You can learn. If you have a question, I know to call about that.
You know?
That's really a great opportunity. So this kid posts the thing, how happy she is. And if anybody wants to donate, because it's expensive to fly to Brazil and to get there and stay there, they don't pay for that. Pedigree used to sponsor it and pay for some of that, but they don't anymore. And it's not an unusual thing. That's what kids do to get there. Very nice responses on the post, except for some. I mean, come on. It's a kid in juniors trying to go represent your country. And you're going to be negative about it?
Yeah.
Just don't post. Just go home and whine to yourself.
Right.
You know, I mean, I just don't understand why people are hurt.
Like we talked about memories. Well, now this is a memory this child's going to have now, these negative posts, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Weren't many. Enough to just make you want to crawl in a hole and wonder why we treat each other this way. It's just...
It's gotten so worse now because of this keyboard warrior crap.
Yeah, the combination of keyboard warriors and a world that's slowly more disrespectful every day. you know, it really is. It's snuck into our sport, unfortunately.
A certain hockey player got in trouble this past week because he was getting bad tweets.
Yeah.
From somebody, and he said, "Well, if you want to meet me somewhere and talk about it, I'm more than happy to meet you to talk about it." Well, he got in trouble for it from the NHL, but I can see it being pushed to the point. You know, yeah, okay, we can talk about that. Yeah. You have to come out from behind your keyboard, though.
Right. Come out of the basement after you play WorldCraft, whatever it is.
Get out of your parents' basement, Captain Sweatpants, and come on. Yeah, I love
that. Sweatpants. But it does affect the sport and the vibe of the sport. I was talking to someone a couple days ago about this, and it was interesting. I had just written, and I just sent it in for, I guess it'll be in the annual, Chronicle Annual, part two of Too Many Dog Shows. I know you're sick of hearing it, but...
it has to be preached. It has to be so.
It affects everything. Yeah. Everything. I spelled out quite a few in this next article. But one of the things you're talking about is back in the days where, at least in America, and probably surely the same in Canada, it's dog shows on Saturday and Sunday. And they were never in the same place. You'd go from one town, probably a 45-minute drive up to the next town. So you'd break everything down, bring everything up there. Yes, it was totally inconvenient. We didn't know it then because that's how we did it.
Right.
So it didn't seem like a big
wasn't convenient to us back then because that was just normal.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, the dog shows were much bigger. But when you had your show, it had your colors, your banners, your identity, your badges, your flowers that everybody knew that identified your club. And you pack up and you go to the next day. And they had their own set of colors and their own way of laying out things, their own trophies. And it kept each show unique. But now they just blur together. You don't even know what show you're at. You know, you're right. A 5-day weekend. What show is this? I don't know. But you go to fill out a form for something. You're like, what show is this today? But anyway, be that as it is, back then, because that town had their show on those grounds every year by themselves, it was the dog show. It was that area's dog show. And everybody went. It was a spectator event. There are picnic benches and, you know, lunches going on. And with, you know, 1,500, 2,000 dogs there, you get spectators all over the place. And we think about aging in this sport and how when I'm the youngest one on the judging panel, well, we got problems, right? which happens a lot. But where are the young people coming from? Well, they used to come from that annual one-day event where the whole town came out. And you welcomed spectators. You advertised it. It was a one-day thing. No one got rich off of it, but you got rich indirectly as far as the AKC. But you get rich indirectly because those people eventually would buy a purebred dog. They were there all day. And by the way, you're going to meet, you know, now... If people come in and go, oh, we're interested in Dalmatians, where are they? I'm like, scattered around and probably gone. The judging was over 20 minutes ago. They're gone.
Exactly. There'll be one here somewhere that's going to show up at 4 o'clock.
Yeah. And now back then you had 20 of them and they'd be there all day. Everybody stayed for best in show, or at least the groups were packed. Now no one stays for anything because they're busy getting out on the next day and are back in their RVs. But it was a different way of bringing in young people into the sport, families. Young families with strollers. Yeah, we complain about the strollers. They were in the way. Guess what they were in the way of? In the way of people buying dogs and registering dogs. Yeah. You know, you got to welcome that and court those people into your sport because it was a big difference. When I think back about the most palatable difference that I can think of, it was that individual show with a big spectator attraction. And we didn't even have to have performance events. I love them, but wouldn't even think of them because there was just people there to see the dogs.
Yeah.
And ringside would be deep. And this is, it's, you know, smaller shows, not just the big ones. I think we've, you know, the having so many clusters has taken that away. It coincided with the gas crisis where we didn't want to drive from show to show back in the 70s during the Arab oil embargo. When we had to wait on lines for gasoline, you weren't born. But,
I wish I wasn't.
Geez, you probably remember that very well, too, right?
My parents had gas stations when I was growing up, so I remember.
My father used to send me 4 o'clock in the morning before school, go get in line. And if it was only odd and even days, you know, if your license plate number ended in a 9, you'd go on an odd day and whatever. So that's how we got really going with clusters. And then it became fair game. And now you don't have to be in the same state. Yeah. You can actually be, your show can be in a different state, never mind your county. Yep. The reason they were all called county dog shows, you know, so-and-so county, Wayne County, Wayne, whatever. There's a reason for that. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. But it's a question. The question is, now what do we do to get young people in the sport? And you're not going to get enough in without having big dog shows where people can go see dogs. They're not going to come if there's one of their dog there. It's not fun.
No, you're right.
I can learn again.
And the personalization of those single day shows is missed as well. Like I remember doing shows, the Progressive Kennel Club, and their local newspaper would start right away, you know, about what's coming to town. And then once they got there, they'd interview somebody, and then it was usually a junior handler. And then you'd be so excited to see your picture in the local newspaper, the North Bay Nugget.
I may have saved a couple of mine. I may have.
I have a few of them. The North
Bay. I even have one of Sue Forsythe, too, that I sent. I sent it to her once in a while just to make her feel old. But there, you know, there is a gap there. And I think, again, tying to sportsmanship, if they come flying in, if they come to a show and we're flying in, flying out, cursing at each other, and screaming it's fixed, who wants to come back? You know,
exactly.
But when the environment's relaxed and you're sitting around ringside and you're having lunch and you're talking and sharing, it makes a whole. Canfield can give you that kind of feeling where people sitting around, it's a big weekend and you get spectators coming through, but not quite like the old days. And not that I want to go back, don't get me wrong. I'm bringing it up only because I worry about where the future is going to come from without families coming in and embracing our sport and seeing good people be sharing information and knowledge.
Well, one of those emails, comments, the person commented said that the dog shows were on the decline. I don't think they're on the decline. I just think there's so many dog shows that the numbers are on the decline at one specific show.
There's no doubt. I mean, it's probably the same number of dogs being entered. It's just they're spread all over the country.
Right.
And as I had a really nice email from a listener, and I'm going to forget his name. It was one that I got. He's a really good guy. He writes once in a while. I believe he's Shelty's, William something. Anyway, super guy. And he mentioned, and I had just written about this, the point schedule is changing as well. And it's true. You know, you get these, when you spread it that thin, you're going to get lower entries, obviously. Lower entries affect the point schedule. The point schedule then in turn requires you to beat only three dogs to become a champion. And that just cycles through. Bill Brocken, thanks, Bill, for your email. It does affect the point schedules. And then we get, you know, people saying cheap champions, easy to finish, can finish anything. Well, yeah, if you have so many shows and you're spreading the entries that thin, the breed entries, the point schedule is going to lower. And then you're going
to they have to lower it. That's the issue.
You know? They have no choice but to lower. Yeah. So it does, it's so many things. Vendor sales, you know, income from vendor sales. So now when you call, when a club calls you, you know, how many groups you have? Because we're only getting 400 and we need someone who can judge the whole dog show.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. You want to bring a friend. Yeah. Bring a friend. But whatever. On the other hand, we have some big dog shows coming up, Will. Some big ones.
You.
Orlando is on the horizon.
Over 5, do we have 000. A final number yet? Do we? It must be getting close.
It's over 5,000.
Over 5,000.
You know what we used to call dog shows over 5,000, though? You think
Louisville.
About that? Yeah. That's exactly what we used to call it. We used to call it Louisville. Exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, that used to not be all that uncommon. And now, boy, it's something to really talk about.
Remember when Louisville was like that? We all talked about it being the biggest dog show. And it was so exciting,
Oh, that was so much fun. I have so many memories of that show. Gosh, that was great fun. Super. They still go on, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they still get good numbers. The 5,000 days are gone, I think. But
you probably have competition 200 miles away, 15 ways to Sunday. That's another thing that's got to change. Just 200 miles is ridiculous.
Well, I remember when we would travel from Louisville to the Tar Heel, and we were always worried about somebody doing that overnight drive, because there was not always, but accidents would happen, people driving overnight from Louisville to Tar Heel. But what a great circuit, if you're busy. But the number of dogs you get to see.
And the people you get to really know. People you see once in a while, you get to really know them. You're on a road trip like that.
Yeah.
But Louisville's always done a great job. It's a great venue, and I love the area. And I don't know if that hotel still across the street was getting a little tired, but there was a theater there too, and you could go see concerts. Mm-hmm. I remember Jim Edwards and I went over and saw.
You could walk right across. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Trisha Yearwood, we went and saw.
I'm not saying.
We would go see anything as long as it was there. Before I went and saw Liberace. I don't know. Anyway, so on to Orlando. You're not going, Will. One of the things that I think is important about Orlando, well, it's a lot of things. The seminars are a big deal. Mm-hmm. They're a big deal. Not just because you can get so many points for attending, because the people that bring the dogs to those things are absolutely the definition of what we need to be. People that are willing to bring, there's a woman last year, I forget the breed, she drove from Pennsylvania with six of a fairly rare breed. She wouldn't even enter, just so we could see the dogs.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing, you do get the dog who should have been there, but he won the breed and was too tired. And I get that completely. But you really get your hands on these dogs, and you get to, and like I've said before, what you learn in the hallways is even more rewarding usually for me. If I'm in there with a couple of good students, you walk out and you talk about it after. But they're great seminars. And even if they're not, they're dogs to see and people to talk to about them before and after. And that casts a whole different feel on that show. It's a show that is linked with education. And I think not just having the seminars there for convenience, but it also brings that sensibility to the show.
Well, and just because of the entry, again, like I used to love going and sitting and watching, even Irish Setters at that point of that show. When you get 20-odd specials, it's worth sitting down and watching.
You're kidding. We watched
Poodles. The Glass Animals.
The last year we watched Poodles together or the year before?
It was last year, yeah. That was fun.
Great fun. That was really fun.
We watched Clay do them. Remember? It was great.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
We watched
Clay do them. He did a great job. He sorted through those dogs. That was a lot of fun.
And that was a good group of specials, too. Really good group. Well, it's going to be fun down there. I'm looking forward to it. And we've got some lots to do down there. I know Ken's going down. Our buddy Ken Murray's going down to do the American Hairless Terrier specialty, the national. There's a lot of specialties down there. The Barbet specialty is there. And
The Barbet National is there, yeah.
Yeah, so there's lots of stuff building up to it that makes it fun, too. I'm going down, I think I'm flying down Monday for the Tuesday seminar, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday seminars, and then I'm leaving Sunday morning. I find, for me, that's plenty of dog show, and I'll watch the rest on TV. And just like to get out of there as much as I like being there. But, and you remember Amy Duncan? He used to work with Ken.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Super person. Just wonderful. She lives down there, and every year she posts, "Hey, I live 15 minutes away. If anybody gets stuck or needs something, give me a call. I'll be right there to bring you whatever you need." I mean,
and she will be. She's that kind of person. She really is.
That's the kind of people we need hanging around. No doubt about it.
And there's another big dog show coming up too, Wayne.
I want to
congratulate you on your assignment.
Well, thank you very much, William. It should be fun. That's the Westminster Kennel
Club.
I'm still
waiting, and I'm going to go check the mail right now.
And that's in May, and I'm thrilled to be on there with a great panel. My buddy Eddie, our buddy Eddie, is on there. Frank Kane, my co-host from Crufts, for many months.
That'll be fun. Him doing the sporting group, that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I really miss Frank. It'll be great to see him in our country and doing his thing. He's a great gun dog guy. And Paula Nykl, another great friend of ours who we have a lot of respect for and fun with. Yeah, it's a great panel. So I'm really looking forward to it. And it's a great assignment, too. I'm really honored to be doing all those breeds, and I can't wait to get into it. So, shall be fun. Shall be fun.
I'm going to come down and just watch you guys. So.
Yeah, it's a good panel to watch. Not me, but I mean.
I can watch you, buddy. There's no question. I'll sit and watch you all day long, and I'll watch my buddy Eddie do the hound group. That'll be a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, it sure will be. So, looking forward to it. And, you know, it's another thing, right? Talk about people complaining on their keyboard. Captain Pajamas, is that what you call him?
Captain Sweatpants.
Captain Sweatpants.
New character, call him Captain Pajamas if you want. Maybe Colonel Pajamas, because there's already Captain Sweatpants and Colonel Pajamas.
Colonel Pajamas.
You can find them both at Walmart.
Anyway, people complaining about the site. There was somebody complaining about the panel. I'm like, yeah, well, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're complaining about Gare and, you know, doing best. And some
Oh, that'd be great. Gare will do a great job.
Right. It's a stellar panel. And Megan Reese, I'm going to mess up her name. Bessel. I love her. Now I feel terrible. She's doing all the spaniels. She's a terrific young judge. And I'm really looking forward to watching her, because she has a great eye. She comes from Welsh Springers. She's young. She's a serious student. And it'll really be fun to see how she does, because I think we have a real good crew, and it'll be fun to watch and see.
Oh, for sure. It'll be exciting. I'm going to go and just sit back and relax and watch all you guys work.
It's Megan Reese Bassel, not Bustle, from Georgia. She's a great Spaniel person. It'll be fun to see her. And we have Michael Woods from Nova Scotia up your way, Will.
Oh, Dr. Michael. He's a wonderful man. He's a lab breeder. And you know what? I've watched Michael judge for years. I think I just love the way he sorts through dogs. He's so much fun. You can follow him. Mm-hmm. He runs a really good ring. He deserves to be there. That's great.
And Jean-Louis is a great lab.
Oh, Jean-Louis, another lab person in Canada.
Great retriever guy.
Yeah, he's bred some beautiful Labradors.
Yeah, she's doing Goldens and Labs, and that'll keep him busy all day.
Oh, all day long. He'll have a blast, because he's one of those guys that you watch judging. You know he's having fun. So
yeah, and I imagine he'll track the big entry of Labradors. They don't always come, you know, unless you have a breed specialist. So that'll be really fun. And in Hounds, we have another Brit, Mark Okoza, who I don't know, but I know he's brilliant in Afghans. Denise Flom. Valerie Hamilton, Jason, our buddy Jason's doing.
Oh, Jason's, yep.
Bassets and Beagles. Polly Smith is doing a bunch of coonhounds and things and working. Another good group working. Ann Ingram from Ireland is coming over to do boxers.
Excellent. Yeah.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
I look forward to seeing her. She's wonderful. Yeah. Anyway, and Paula's doing that group, isn't she? So that'll be fun. Yeah.
And my buddy Ted Eubank, who I just absolutely love and respect, is doing Cavaliers and a couple good toy breeds. Doug Johnson, of course, our buddy from Indiana, from Bloomington. And again, Peggy right here from Michigan, Peggy Beisel.
Oh,
so it's a good path. I'm not going to read them all off, as a million of them, but it should really be fun. And the group judges are well deserved and should have a great team.
Can we go? Do you have the group judges in front of you?
I do. Yes, I do.
So group one is Frank Kane. And group two is Eddie.
Yep.
And three is Paula.
You better name them, Will. We're not in Canada. You have to name them. Sporting group is group one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Correct. And that's Frank Kane. Working is Paula Nykl. Connie Clark is doing terriers.
Oh, she'll do a great job, Connie. Yeah.
And Tommy Cohen's doing non-sporting. That's a brilliant move.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not true, is it?
Is he hurting?
I'm reading it backwards. Eddie's doing hounds.
Right.
Cindy Vogels is doing toys. George Mikolovich is doing non-sporting. Tommy's doing herding, which makes more sense.
Yeah, that'll be a great, that whoever that'll be quite the win for somebody under Tommy.
He's just a great dog when he bred. So many great Shelties, and
Handler too. It's a wonderful handler.
Yeah, just super. Oh, that'll be great fun. And of course, Gare's doing best. And if you don't know his resume, you haven't been around, check him out.
Right.
Yeah. He's moved here from, is it Belgium? Norway.
Yeah, Norway.
And lives here in Ohio now. So our luck to have him living in this country. So it'll be great fun. I'm looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the new site. People are already complaining about the site that they haven't seen or know nothing about. That's always fun to watch. I've been to this site and it's beautiful. It is beautiful. And again, we've talked about this before, but man, do you have any idea how hard it is to do this? These guys do an amazing job, men and women, putting this together, and their PR team. And I don't know. Anyway, I look forward to it. So it'll be a start to a new, who knows, you know, the getting dates to be an annual event in an annual place.
Yeah, new tradition, maybe. You know, that'd be great. Yeah. Hope it works out for them. Really do.
It has proved one thing, hasn't it? Well, it doesn't need to be a Madison Square Garden to be Westminster.
Oh, exactly. It's Westminster. Now, the garden does have that mystique to it. But then we all think about some of the hardships it was at the garden as well. So, but.
You know, you just said mystique, right?
Mystique. I didn't say Miss P, though.
It has that Miss P to it.
It makes Miss P just didn't work in the sentence. It does have that Miss P about it.
But, you know, yeah, we missed the Blarney Rock. We'll find another Blarney Rock. You know, it got to the point in the city where it's just no fun to be there anymore. For a dog show, to make that clear. It's fun to be there. It's tough. The box trucks. And by the way, I was just talking to somebody else about dog shows where there's not RV, where RVs aren't allowed, or there's no place for RVs. That's become a big deal now. Mm-hmm. Everybody, it seems like there's an RV for every dog. You know, I mean, it's the way to go. And shows that don't have that accessibility to RV parking are at a disadvantage, unless you're Westminster. Or, you know, a show that's not many shows in the cities anymore.
It's hard to work. Cities have gotten so huge and busy in construction and expensive. I can imagine what the expense is to have a dog show in the likes of New York City, you know.
And unions. You know, I remember doing a show for the AKC. We're setting up a booth and we had to call an electrician from the union to plug in the display.
Yeah.
Couldn't even plug it in.
So I had ran into that at the dog show we had at the Royal here. I needed garbage cans. And I went to go get one. Oh, you can't touch those. I did anyway. I just started talking union talk. Oh, you know. Yeah. What did you and the wife do last night? Well, we went to the baseball game.
Went bowling. But, hey, I'm all for unions. Great. But it's tough when you're trying to put a dog show on and have to put up with so many things, crime, parking, expense, hotels, where do you walk the dogs, all that. So tip of the hat to Westminster for finding a way somehow in this world to put on a great event. And for those who wanted to go back to Tarrytown, bless your hearts. I've been there in the rain.
Yeah, we were so lucky.
No fun. And you don't take grounds like that and bring in tow trucks to get your 40-foot diesel pusher out when you get stuck. That's not going to happen. So not with grounds like that. You would damage those grounds forever. I'm sorry about my voice tonight. Back to those issues. Anyway, hope all's well at those events, and we look forward to it. We've got some other stuff coming up, Will. We've got you being an adjudicator. How's that going?
Oh, it's going well. I guess my next assignment will be in February. That'll be my final sporting assignment. And hopefully I'll be approved the entire gun dog group, group one.
Gosh, I think I'll be trying to finish it by the time you're done with in our system. By the time
you can move up here. I have plenty of room here. We can give you an address here and you can just.
No, I really could. It might be better for me, easier.
What
for
about
me.
Ireland? You're a citizen of Ireland. You can probably.
I could fly there. I could be. Yeah, that would be the way to do it. But I could only. How many times? You can judge 16 times now? Is that
16
it?
Times. That's plenty.
Yeah. And plus specialties. You can do those as well.
There's unlimited specialties. Yeah.
Well, in that case. Packing me bags, heading to the old sod. Go see my man over there. Anyway, there you have it. We have a lot of things to do with these judging approval processes down here that are cumbersome for some. But I think at the end of the day, I don't know, this sounds silly. It can also be linked back to too many shows. When you have too many shows, you need too many judges.
And you need all breed judges. You need judges that can judge a lot of dogs, you know?
Yeah.
I think that that's probably why they open it up to foreigners judging more than eight times a year, because they needed the judges, you know, the ones that could judge the entire show.
I agree with you, Will. I think that's one reason for sure. I had a judge call me last night who's a prominent judge, three group judge, and she's done very well. She told me that a club from another state called her and asked if she could judge for them. And she said, sure. And they said, do you have five groups? And she said, no. And she said, sorry, can't use you. Five is the
five.
Five. So when you have this many shows and you need multi-group judges, it behooves the system to come up with a way to approve enough judges. Now, with that said, the AKC is doing a great job of balancing it with requirements to judge, right? They don't just hand them out.
Right.
You have to take seminars, you've got to observe, you got to do all these things. So that they're stuck in a place where they've got to create a balance of being strict on education, strict on requirements, yet a system that allows them to produce enough multi-group judges, because that's all you can use now. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. And I was talking to a judge this morning who said, he's telling me not comfortable in certain breeds he's judging. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you're going to get better as you judge them. But if you only get to judge one every other month, you're never going to really get that eyeful to figure it out. So yeah, there's dilemmas caused by this. And one of them certainly is this judging approval process, which I think is as good as it can be for the system we have now. They not only require you to take educational seminars, but they provide them and links to them.
Right. Online, everything. They whatever you want is there. You know?
Yeah. The difference is, and I think it's, to me, it's obvious, but I don't think there's anything you can do about it. There are those who go do those things to get points to apply for their license. They're those that go to learn,
right,
and happen to get points.
The other ones are, it sounds horrible. The other ones are just box checkers. They really are. They're box checkers. They can say they've taken the course on the Milton Coonhound.
And you know, the issue with that, of course, is that they can advance rapidly because they're good at this. They don't mind calling 100 people and taking notes and writing points down. They don't mind the expense of flying to a national. I know judges that are flying to nationals almost every weekend.
Yeah.
To get the big points and laughing about it. You know, did you watch when you were there? Did you have a mentor? Who? Never heard of them. Well, the club said they were good. Yeah, well, I never heard of them. There's other great people there you could have talked to. Well, they're not worth for points because they're not on the list. I don't care.
Right. It's all about education.
Yeah. Well, they're not on the improved mentor list. Well, that's probably who you want to talk to anyway. They might not be a club member, so they can't be on. But they've been in that breed for 50 years, and you might want to pay attention. So, yeah, it's a dilemma that they can't solve. How can you solve it? I mean, what can you do? I guess the ultimate stopgap is when the field reps have to pass you. I feel sorry for the field reps. I think we have a good bunch, but can they be experts in 200 breeds when they're doing their evaluation? So there's a lot to lean on. And fortunately, we have ones you can talk to. But it all goes back to spreading around too thin, and I don't see any way out of it. I think we're here, and that's where we're going to be. So,
and it used to be in the day that the cream rose to the top. Well, sometimes that's not the case anymore.
It's the cream of the collecting points rises to the top.
Right, necessity, and let's face it, clubs doing each other other people favors from each club to club. It's a whole different ball game now.
What about this, Will? What about if you, when you had the leisure? By the way, those Saturday and Sunday shows wasn't the same panel.
No, they're always a different panel.
They all left and the next group came in.
Yeah.
So there was no sitting in the group ring together, ripping or promoting other people's dogs that you wanted. You know, I did this. What'd you do? None of that. And there was no, you didn't even know who won the day before. So a class dog could win the whole thing. Wouldn't be a surprise because you didn't expect it. No one told you what happened. Unless you ran home. Well, you couldn't even do that. You couldn't even check online. You could find out Monday morning in the New York Times, too late to join the bandwagon. That certainly changed things. But there was a mix, because the clubs could afford it then, there was a mix of breed specialists and all-arounders. A healthier mix. It may be oversimplifying to say this. It's a gross generalization, so I apologize ahead of time. But one would suspect that most breed specialists would focus more on the finer points of the breed, the ones that we would consider type, right? The things that set the breed apart as unique by having these points that are that represent the breed in a special way. And that the all-arounders would focus more on general make and shape, moveness, conditioning, and the whole, the structure, more structure and construction and movement. Now, I think we need both of those things. There are plenty of all-arounders who can breed type, judge type in many breeds, if not all of them. And there are plenty of breed specialists who know about the whole dog and conformation and structure. I'm not saying they're mutually exclusive at all, but I'm saying they're spoken or not. There's that focus where the breeder judge and an all-rounder are going to have a different approach. They may end up with the same dogs, but a different approach to those dogs. So when you go to just multi-group judges, does that mean we're going to have less focus on features of breed type and more of a focus on the generic show dog? You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's no question, yeah, because sometimes hallmarks of the breed are overlooked for the overall dog because the dog can put on a show and run around that ring. A lot of the times those dogs are very good dogs as well.
Yes. I think we need to make that clear, right? These are gross, I said in the beginning, gross overgeneralizations, but there's a slant that I would think that when you go to just multi-group judges, you don't have that backstop that, hey, wait a second, breed type's important too. And you need to judge the whole dog. And there are judges who judge the whole dog that are all-arounders, and there are judges that judge the whole dog that are breed specialists. I'm not saying there's not. But if there's a tilt or a bias, it could be affected by the proliferation of only five group judges. Six. They're your best judges, there's no doubt, a lot of them. But still, it changes the picture.
But let's face it, if there's a group of all breed judges and a handful of specialists, everybody wins, including the all breed judges, because they get to see and learn from these judges, and they may just be reconfirming what they already know. But I think it's important when you, how often do you remember being on a panel or being in a show years ago, and let's say when Jimmy first started judging shepherds, oh, what did Jim put up in shepherds? They all want to know, and they want to see why, and they want to know his thoughts on it. And it helped everybody. It helped everybody on the panel.
That's a good point, Will. It's a real good point. And vice versa. And the breeders learn from the all-arounders about general construction, right, making shape, and
sometimes you need a happy medium. I used to do that a lot with some poodle clients because they'd bring me out a dog and I'd look at it and go, oh, that's fancy. That might be a bit too fancy.
Yeah.
We have to find a happy medium in between.
You do. I wrote this paper, God, it must be 40 years ago, about the phases of judging. And it's, again, it's a thought I had 40 years ago. I still think a lot of it's true, though. The first phase is you get to learn, you know what a pretty dog is. You see a dog going down the street, could be a mutt, whatever. That's a pretty dog. You know, got a nice make and shape to it. Nice outline, looks happy. Nice dog. And then you start to focus on judging dog shows. And you learned about your breed. And everyone tells you about the veins in the ear leather and the flare of the nostrils and the shape of the toenails. That's true. And we'll go to those, right? And the shape of the tail, all the finer, finer points that make that breed unique. And you get so focused on that, you're a phase one judge. Well, actually, you're phase two. Phase one is looking at general whatever dog. And this phase two is when you dive down. Now I'm an expert. Now I know about the veins in the ear leather. Now I know about the specific points. That's great. Did you watch them move? Do you know about fronts and rears? Okay, that's great. Then you move into phase three, where you take the finer points of the type and the whole dog that you forgot about in the beginning, learn more about construction and movement appropriate to the breed, and put it together in your complete judge. Here's the problem. We all think we're in phase three, and we're not. Some days you're in phase one for one class, phase two for another breed, phase three, and then but the goal is to get to the end where you can judge type and the whole dog. It is the whole dog.
I like how, and this is backing up a little bit, I like how you said a dog moved appropriate for their breed. I like that statement, because that, in my eye, that's type as well. So
it is type. Movement is type. They're inseparable. And this discussion has gone on forever, right? Type versus soundness.
Right.
At the end of the day, you can't have breed type if you can't do the function you were bred to do. And if you can't move like that breed, you don't have breed type.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Some dogs get a little too suspended for their breed, and then everybody goes, oh, look how pretty that is. Well, that's pretty, but it's not right for that breed.
Watch the Afghan hounds and study their movement. Mike Kennelly's was a great... It's funny, I saw Michael in Florida maybe 2 years ago, and he said, I have this great video I want to show you of sighthounds moving in the desert. He had his phone.
Oh, I got that video too. Yeah.
And he showed me, and I said, that's great. Have you ever seen it before? I said, yeah, I use it in all my seminars. The UKC seminars used to do, the all-breed ones. I always use that in slow motion, watch it. And I used to I'd start the footage, and I'd say, okay, I'd stop, and I'd say, who's going to win the race? To the students. And they would have to judge based on the basic shape and action of that dog coming off the start, who was going to win the race. It was always fun, because sometimes, you know, there's endurance ones and there's sprinters, just like horses. And it's a great video to watch. It's from National Geographic, I believe, produced by them years ago in a great documentary about purebred dogs. They also talk about in that video how 80% of our breeds, this is an old video, probably 20 years old, have been created in the last 100 years. Now, 100 years doesn't sound like a long time in the larger scheme of genetics. When you think about that, it's only 100 years we've gone from wolf to 200 breeds? I mean, primarily.
Yeah.
So this whole thing about what's a purebred dog and when do they become one? Well, interesting topic. Interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, this is the largest genetics experiment in history, purebred dogs. We've taken a wolf, made a Chihuahua and an Irish Wolfhound. You know, that's selective breeding. And it's done at a rate of speed and takes knowledge and chance that no one can ever imagine in any other species. I mean,
I never thought about that. That makes a lot of sense. It's kind of overwhelming when you think of it that way.
It is. And we're trying to make them better. There's a great experiment, famous in Russia, I believe, a scientist that bred fox. And he selected just for temperament. That's it. And within a very relatively short period of time, speaking genetically, he had fox that you could hang out as a house pet. totally domesticated. And all he did was, if they came to him for food or whatever, I was talking to Cher about this last night. When Poppy had the tennis ball stuck under the table, she would immediately turn around and look to us for help. Mm-hmm. Human, can you help me? It's under there, human. Wolves would never do that. There's great experiments with wolves with food and everything else they would enjoy. And if they're stuck and they can't get to it, they'll never turn back and look at you. So we've changed the whole physical part and the mental part of this great experiment in a very short period of time. So can you change faults and things quickly? If you can make a breed in 100 years, you can figure out how to whack one in 20. I can tell you that. I've seen it done. So, be careful with those selections. You never know what you're doing. But great experiment. Anyway, enough science for you today, young William. I've got to start reading People Magazine or something to balance out my other reading material. Anyway, buddy.
Is there still a People Magazine? I don't even know if there is.
Yeah, it's probably online, though. Are there any magazines? I think it's probably still the National Enquirer or Reader or something.
Is there? You have to go to the dentist's office and find out. I don't know.
All I know is when you go to the airport in Detroit, you can find car magazines, and that makes me happy. I buy the car magazines at the Detroit airport. I think they're now $24 a piece or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well. Or you can subscribe online for $3.
Are you somewhere this weekend?
I am. I'm judging I forgot about this. Stan Masumoto, Tim Catterson, and I are judging an Australian Shepherd Club of America show.
Oh, nice.
I love judging for ASCA. This is the big, they have their own registry. Now, they also, I don't know what percentage, in fact, maybe I'll ask this weekend, there are a lot of Marie KC registered as well. In fact, I had a dog, last time I judged, I had a dog who was really nice, but I just really couldn't get, he didn't want to be there. And the woman said to me, he was out in California with, and I won't name the handler, but a famous handler who couldn't get pulled together either. So he was special quality going out there and just couldn't get it done. Temperament just wasn't right. But boy, I sure like that breed. And you get the opportunity to see athletes, dogs that move in a way that will give you goosebumps. They can keep their top and they're balanced. And when you judge them, you can just move them from the side. And when you see that side gate and you see that top line, you're halfway home.
There you go.
And they all work their dogs. Most of them work their dogs to performance events. It's a fun event.
Well, that'll be fun. Yeah,
it really will be. I've judged quite a bit for ASCA over the years. Actually, a whole lot. And I like doing it. So it'll be fun to see Tim and Stan.
Oh, for sure. Stanley's one of my favorite people. I had so much fun with Stanley. He used to come up here and show dogs quite a bit. So it was always fun to see him.
He just had his big show, Skokie Valley, or Skokie Kennel Club. He had it at Grays Lake this year at the site where they have all those wonderful shows in the winter and summer, Ken Mary's group. So, a fine time. Should be
good. I'm flying to Calgary. I'm going to Calgary to the Evelyn Kenny dog show. I'm co-hosting the CPHA Top Dog Dinner with Sean Nichols. Oh. Sean is actually the chairman of the Evelyn Kenny Kennel Club, so it'll be a fun show. It'll be a fun time.
Yeah, it sure will be. And is it those a couple of all breeds out there?
Three all breed shows, and the dinner I believe is Friday night. And they're celebrating last year's top 10 winners. I know it's a little late, but that's just the way it goes sometimes. It'll be fun. And Shannon Shear is everything to the CPHA. She's in charge of everything. And she's going to put this show on. I know it's going to be great as usual. There's a cast to help her, obviously, but without Shannon, it would not happen. So my hat's off to Shannon. I look forward to seeing everybody this weekend.
That'll be great fun, Will. Yeah. Are you speaking, hosting?
I'm co-hosting with Sean. Sean and I will be co-hosting. We're the MCs for the dinner. So it'll be fun. It'll be like the Oscars, Wayne. It'll be just like the Oscars.
I was going to say, do you have your tuxedo yet?
And if someone comes up from the audience and wants to punch me, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Just be prepared.
Keep my dog's mouth name out of your mouth. I said, keep my dog's name out of your mouth.
You're going to have to use that. Maybe I'll fly out and come up and take a swing. Well, is Balter going to be there? Maybe he will take a swing. I don't know.
I don't know if Doug's going to be there. I think the number one dog last year was the Wire Fox Terrier that Haley and R.C. Carusi owned. So I wonder if one of them will. I heard rumors that R.C. might be there. So it'll be fun to see R.C.
Yeah, that'll be great. Well, I wish you the best of luck. Do you have your tuxedo?
No, I'm not wearing a tuxedo. I'm just going to wear a suit this time.
Well, you know, I just bought another one, and I know a lot about them, Will. I know a whole lot about them. I learned about them on YouTube. Yeah, because it's been a while since I bought one. I had
you can learn anything you want on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, except how to tie the bow tie. I think I might go with the clip on. I don't know.
I don't know if there are videos that teach you how to tie them, but they're. Yeah. I'd go with the clip-on too. So
yeah, it's just there's so many things I want to learn in the world, and there's so many I don't really care to learn, and that's probably one of them. Although Peter Kubas could tie probably with his eyes closed.
Oh, exactly.
He's a bow tie
master
guy.
Of all the different tie knots. That point,
he had some I never. I think he had inside out last time I saw him.
I think he makes them up too, and he kind of messes up and just has to tighten them, and he calls it a lead and just goes with it. Oh no, that's a meridian whatever cross knot, you know. Yeah, sure it is, Pete.
I think that might be true. The last time I saw some mess around the middle of his neck, I don't know what it was, but it was terrific. He wore it well.
Oh yeah.
There you have it. All right, buddy.
All right. Time to carry on.
Shine our shoes. All right. Take care, pal.
All right, everybody, stay safe out there, and we'll see you down the road.
Party on, Bert.
No way. Way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reels.
That's right. We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Hit it.
Under my feet, stranger
things
have come and gone. To see the world and take the throne. Don't hold back.
Thanks, Ernie.
We didn't mention hockey either.
Isn't that unbelievable, though?
Put that in, Doc. Man, I don't want to see it in a blooper anywhere.
Nailed it.